The sale of recreational marijuana is already legal in Washington state, but residents aren't expected to be able to buy pot legally until later this summer because the logistics haven't been set up yet. Legalization was approved by voters in 2012 as a way to take money away from criminals and generate tax revenue. Well, one man who's about to go to federal prison for growing and trafficking marijuana illegally says the new law wouldn't shut down the black market. From the Here and Now Contributors Network, Austin Jenkins reports from Olympia, Washington.
I'm standing with Scott Johnson, looking up at the tallest building in Bellingham, Washington, the Bellingham Towers.
Opened May 9th, 1930. Tallest building north of Seattle, still today. Sorry. There you go, I'm selling.
Johnson is one of those natural-born salesmen. He used to own a restaurant on the 15th floor of this building. What was the name of the restaurant?
At first, it was called Top of the Towers, and then after about 5 years, I changed it to City View Grill.
Now Johnson comes to Bellingham Towers to see his lawyer, whose office is also here. You see, Johnson's been sentenced to 5 years in federal prison for his role in a long-running marijuana production and distribution ring. Johnson says before the Fed swept in, it was a lucrative line of business. At one point, he even owned a Lamborghini. It was mostly an investment, but he also took it for the occasional spin. There was also a boat named Liquid Assets, jet skis, trips to Hawaii. Johnson ran a couple of marijuana grow operations. His business partners had a couple more. He would ship the marijuana 70 to 80 pounds at a time across the country.
It was packaged very well, placed into a mortar home, driven close to New York City, and then it was transferred and delivered otherwise.
Johnson would fly to New York and supervise the transaction.
Yeah, put on a smiling face, put the suit and tie on, and go to work.
Literally the suit and tie?
Literally the suit and tie.
Johnson says in a good year, he could make upwards of $1 million. His profit margin was 65%. Since he couldn't pay taxes, he gave to charity. He kept his wife and twin daughters in the dark. And then the feds came calling. Did you sort of assume in the back of your mind that this day would come?
I never believed that I'd see the feds sniffing around.
The feds put Johnson out of business. But what if they hadn't caught wind of his operation? Would pot legalization in Washington have got him instead?
Legalization wouldn't have put me out of business. It's not going to put anyone that's been doing this for a while out of business.
For the record, Johnson says he planned to become a licensed pot grower under Washington's new recreational marijuana legalization law.
I don't like lying to my family. I don't like, you know, cheating the government.
But if he couldn't get a license for some reason?
Definitely wouldn't have folded. I mean, I would have attempted to get the license. If that didn't work, I would have just continued on the mission.
And you think you still would have had a customer base and a business model that worked?
Very much so.
Johnson says he already weathered one storm in the pot business, medical marijuana. It drove down the price so much, that's when he started moving product to New York. He says to survive legalization, he might have had to expand his distribution to other states.
He can certainly grow pot in Bellingham and send it to Oregon or Chicago or New York.
That's UCLA's Mark Kleiman. He was Washington State's marijuana consultant. Kleiman doesn't believe illegal growers in Washington will continue to have a homegrown customer base.
How many moonshiners are there in Washington? How many illicit tobacco growers are there in Washington? It's very hard for an illicit market to compete with an illicit market. It's just much cheaper to pay your taxes and do stuff above board.
But Scott Johnson isn't convinced that the new pot stores will immediately replace long-standing customer-dealer relationships.
I think that the majority of people are going to be getting it from their buddy that they've been getting it from for decades.
To test that theory, I went to Sylvester Park in downtown Olympia, Washington, to conduct an informal survey. There I found 20-year-old Chris Baldwin and his friend Madison, who wouldn't give her last name. They were sitting in the sun eating Triscuits, pepperoni sticks, and fruit leather. Both admitted to regularly smoking pot. Have you guys used today?
Yeah, I would probably explain the food eating. Yeah.
You're high right now.
Yeah, I'm currently a little baked.
A little baked.
Yeah.
I asked Chris and Madison if they plan to start buying their pot at the licensed stores when they open in Washington.
I think I might stick with my dealer.
Both are skeptical they'll get the quality and variety of marijuana they're accustomed to. And Madison doesn't want to be videotaped going into a marijuana retail store.
There's really no telling how they're going to be classifying people who buy it and
I ask them how much they pay now for pot.
Street prices on a gram would be like $10 normally.
And you're saying he's basically giving you a gram and a half for the price of one.
Yeah.
So what happens, I ask, if the price in the stores gets down to $3 a gram? That's the price Mark Kleiman predicts within 3 years.
Then all illegal grow-ups will go out of business. That's an absolute... I can guarantee that.
As for Scott Johnson, he's scheduled to check into federal prison this month. The date was delayed so he could watch his twin daughters graduate from high school. So when he gets out of prison, does he have any plans to get back into the pot trade?
As far as the black market, absolutely not. There's no doubt in my mind on that one.
Johnson says he would consider participating in the legal marijuana trade, but as a convicted felon, he's not likely to get a license from the state of Washington. For Here and Now, I'm Austin Jenkins in Olympia, Washington.